This is Raquel Willis from Queer Chronicles. Right now, there are close to 500 anti-LGBTQ plus bills in state legislatures across the country. Lambda Legal is leading the charge against these hateful bills that target mostly trans and non-binary people. You can fight discrimination and help write the next chapter of Lambda Legal history. To learn more about their open cases and to donate, visit lambdalegal.org. That's lambdalegal.org.
I'm so excited to tell you JCPenney and country music singer-songwriter Walker Hayes are partnering together on a new limited-time men's collection for the everyday guy. What I love about Walker Hayes is his laid-back nature. He's a family man, and being a country megastar while also having 7 kids, you know he likes to keep his style cool and casual. This new collection is perfect for the guy living the t-shirt life or someone wanting some fresh options that feel just as good. It's easy to wear, affordable styles that celebrate the ultimate family man, along with the quality, durability, and sensibility dads appreciate. Available online Saturday, May 4th at jcp.com and in-store Thursday, May 16th. Just in time for Father's Day. Limited time only. JCPenney, make it count.
With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you. Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency, where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency. Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today. Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.
Cool Zone Media.
Welcome back to It Could Happen Here, a podcast about things falling apart. And when things fall apart, one of the things that happens is you get a lot of opportunities for a lot of weird little guys, a lot of Nazis and other kinds of scum start, you know, sliding up to the surface in the hopes that they can get some of the sweet, sweet oxygen of collapse. And that's why we've brought onto the program and are bringing into the network our good friend Molly Conger for a little recurrent series I like to call Look Who's Stalking. That was the stalking joke I wanted to open the episode with, Molly.
From the attorneys, I am not stalking anyone. I would never do that. That is a crime. This mm-hmm. is reporting.
Mm-hmm. It is reporting. And the line between reporting and stalking, always clear.
You know, I think it's on the publication.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, Robert, today's topic is such a perfect mashup of so many of my favorite things. It couldn't be more my speed unless this whole story took place on a wiener dog ranch, right?
Yeah.
This story has city council meetings that got rowdy. It has Unite the Right attendee getting doxxed. It has the internal comms of a hate group getting leaked. It has regular ass people putting their foot down about hate in their town. It is a years-long arc of one man's journey from fucking around to finding out. His evolution from chanting, "You will not replace us," to getting replaced at the ballot box. This is the story of Enid, Oklahoma, Ward 1 City Commissioner, Judson Gannon Blevins.
Oh my God. Oh, we're going back to my old home.
That's right. You spent some time in Oklahoma as a kid. So Judd Blevins was raised in the town of Enid, Oklahoma. And the listener, you'd be forgiven for thinking this is the story of a small town. And I'll be honest, I did. I'd never heard of Enid. But you grew up in the area. Do you have any sort of pre-existing notions of Garfield County?
Yeah. I mean, Enid was like a bigger place. Like, I grew up in Idabel, which was really out in the sticks. So kind of everywhere was more civilization than Idabel, but Enid certainly was. Although not much. No one would accuse it of much civilization.
It is apparently the 9th largest city in Oklahoma, which was surprising to me. It's an hour and a half outside of Oklahoma City, 76% white, 60% Republican. And according to a 2021 article on Yahoo News that reads like it was written by an intoxicated chatbot, it is ranked one of the most conservative cities in the country.
Yeah, that all scans for Enid. Sure. Now, that scans for a lot of cities in Oklahoma, mind you.
Right. They could have named any of them.
Yeah.
But it has a population of about 50,000, which is actually the same size as Charlottesville, my hometown, and a city that Judson Blevins happened to visit in the summer of 2017. In 2018, the former U.S. Marine moved back to his hometown to work at his father's roofing business. In 2019, he was publicly identified as a regional leader in a white supremacist organization. And in 2022, he announced he was running for office.
I mean, that's a very Oklahoma politician route. It's also like, from roofing to white supremacy, not a wildly uncommon route for people to take in Oklahoma.
Oh, don't worry, he's still doing both.
Oh, good. I mean, you never want to give up on your passion for roofing. That would have made me sad.
Although some of his supporters have pointed out that he hires lots of non-white people to do manual labor, so how could he be racist?
Yeah, I mean, you don't want to get up on those roofs yourself. That's dangerous. It's our job. It's hot out. Yeah. This is all pretty Oklahoma so far.
On February 14th, 2023, Judd Blevins narrowly won a seat on the Enid City Council, defeating the incumbent by just 36 votes. His past ties to the now-defunct white supremacist group Identity Europa were no secret. Of course, by 2023, Identity Europa didn't exist anymore, so I don't blame you if you don't have a clear memory of exactly what kind of Nazi group they were. And I want to make it very clear. I don't want time, distance, and white polo shirts to soften this. Identity Europa was a neo-Nazi organization.
Oh, yeah. They were also just like the most infiltrated group of the Trump era. Like of all the Nazi orgs in the Trump era, I feel like they were the one where every week someone else got inside their comms.
Well, I guess Blevins may be part to blame for that as the regional coordinator.
Oh, good. So he was doing a great job.
But Identity Europa was modeled after the far-right French identitarian movement and sought the creation of a white ethnostate. The "You Will Not Replace Us" chants you remember from Unite the Right were actually popularized by Identity Europa at their rallies earlier that year. Mm-hmm. And according to testimony from a former girlfriend, one-time Identity Europa leader Elliot Klein considered himself, quote, an unironic exterminationist. And he had violent fantasies about killing Jewish people himself. So it's not just guys hanging out, right?
No.
Identity Europa was founded in 2016 by Nathan D'Amigo, a former Marine who went to prison after drunkenly pulling a gun on a cab driver for, quote, looking Iraqi.
Well, I guess at least he's honest.
But while he was doing his time, he read David Duke's autobiography.
Oh.
And he had an awakening, right? He read My Awakening and he had an awakening in prison.
Yeah.
You know, you go to prison for a hate crime, you read a little David Duke, you get some ideas.
Man, it's not a good book. Like, that's my thing about having David Duke's autobiography be like your life-changing event, is it's not even a good book, right? Which I guess neither was Mein Kampf, but I feel like everyone's lying about that one.
So according to some, this is so off the beaten path here, I have to say it. According to some payments that came out in a divorce proceeding, David Duke made payments to Kevin Strome for ghostwriting it. Kevin Strome is the pedophile who actually said that thing that people think Voltaire said about the Jews.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Great.
So just something to think about when you're reading David Duke's autobiography in prison, I guess.
I mean, I guess I had wondered what happens to pedophiles, like when they're back out in the world. Like, how do you get work as a pedophile?
Oh, he has a much younger wife now. No, that was before. Well. That was, yeah, no, he's got a kid now, so.
Oh, what? No, he shouldn't do that.
Yeah. Anyway.
How is that? Okay, great.
Not allowed to live near a school, but I guess they can't stop you from procreating.
We should evaluate some of that. I don't know.
Anyway, back to our friend Nate, right? So Nathan D'Amigo gets out of prison. Makes his own hate group. You may also remember him as the guy who bravely beat the shit out of a 95-pound woman at the rally in Berkeley in April of 2017.
Oh, yeah.
And they memed the hell out of that. They squeezed it for all it was worth. They used that image of him beating that woman in the street for promotion and recruitment. D'Amigo himself touted a spike in membership applications, which he attributed to the popularity of the video. Identity Europa was heavily involved in the Summer of Hate, that rash of violent white supremacist rallies across the country in 2017. They were instrumental in planning the Unite the Right rally. But when the group's Discord server was leaked in March of 2019 and published in full by Unicorn Riot, their leader at the time, Patrick Casey, quickly announced a rebrand. Identity Europa is no more. They were the American Identity Movement now, much to the displeasure of the American Indian Movement, whose acronym they stole. But the rebrand was not successful, and the group died out completely in 2020. And Casey tried to pretend the rebrand wasn't just an attempt to escape the fallout of the leak, But it really was the leak that killed Identity Europa. At least 7 active duty military members were identified in the leak. A school resource officer at a high school in Virginia was suspended. A Minnesota National Guardsman was recalled from basic training. So Judd Blevins was just one of dozens of members of the group to be identified in those chat logs. The work of anti-fascist researchers who identified Blevins in the leaked chats was corroborated and published in an article on Right Wing Watch by Jared Holt within weeks. And it's about as solid as an idea as you could hope for from a chat log, or depending on your position, the kind of ID you really don't want. A user called Conway was Identity Europa's regional coordinator for Oklahoma. He recruited and vetted new members, organized outings for banner drops and social events, and frequently posted pictures of the white supremacist propaganda he'd been putting up, encouraging others to do the same and offering tips on how to create more effective visuals for the group's online accounts. In over 1,100 posts over a nearly 2-year period, he left a lot of clues. He posted a link to an article in his hometown paper, the Enid News and Eagle. He posted a photo of a relative's baby, details about his parents' lineage, his plans to move home to work for his father's business. And in the lead up to the Unite the Right rally, he excitedly shared in the Discord that he would be carrying the original flag of the state of Oklahoma, a red rectangle with the number 46 inside of a white star. And photos from the rally show just one man carrying that distinctive flag that was designed by a member of the Daughters of the Confederacy, Judd Blevins. As he grew into his role as regional coordinator for Identity Europa, he coordinated member meetups, getting several guys from Oklahoma to drive down to Texas for a get-together. Conway posted about the meetup, and photos posted by other attendees show Blevins standing shoulder to shoulder with other members holding a large Identity Europa banner. Conway even posted about his appearance on a 2018 episode of Identity Europa's podcast, where he emphasized the importance of staying in the "you will not replace us" mindset. So by the time he announced his run for office in 2022, it had been over 3 years since he'd been outed as Conway, the hate group member who attended the Unite the Right rally.
And you could see why he would think it would work, right? Because that "you will not replace us" thing, it's become like the mainstream Republican politics, right? Like this ideology has at least won in the Republican Party, but it's also won divorced from these guys because even they are like they're too toxic for even the modern Republicans. Like it's remarkable, but I also get why he thought this would work.
And I think, I mean, I don't know what his connection remained to other members of IE after it dissolved, but towards the end of it, as it was dying, right? So under Elliot Klein, you know, Klein wanted to make a militia for Richard Spencer. He wanted to, you know, build IE into a fighting force. But under Patrick Casey, they sort of moved back towards, we should be trying to influence inside of politics. We should be going to colleges and getting, you know, conservative students to become more based, right? So this is a rational course of conduct, I think, for where he was in 2019 when Identity Europa died. But in any case, by 2022, anybody in Enid, you could read his posts praising Hitler and celebrating Identity Europa for striking fear into the heart of the Jew, his words. You know, you could see pictures of him at Unite the Right, both on the morning of the 12th in the park and the evening of the 11th with a torch. You could see pictures of him going to Texas for IE meetups. You could see the dozens and dozens of photos he posted in the Discord of Nazi posters and stickers he had put up on telephone poles and college bulletin boards across Oklahoma, and the posts where he reveled in the media coverage of the recruitment materials he left inside library books. His hometown newspaper, the Enid News and Eagle, ran an article about the allegations, which he never denied, a month before the election. And without ever having to give a straight answer on the issue, he won. And that could have been the end of the story, right? You know, we've seen this trend in the last few years of these radical right-wing elements trying to melt into the mainstream Republican Party. You know, we've got these horrible little groypers working in congressional staff positions and, you know, Nazis going to CPAC and not getting ejected. They're getting out of the streets and into the meeting rooms.
Yeah.
An account tied to Blevins that he recently, for the first time, denied this was him. It's him. This has been widely reported. It was a Twitter account called @abolishjournalism. Right. Posted in 2019, quote,
"Love these dudes.
I agree with the argument GOP cannot be changed from the bottom up. However, I do not believe in discouraging our guys from getting elected into smaller offices such as city council, county commissioner, or even state legislators. Basically, positions where one can fly under the radar yet still be effective. And that's what this is, right? This isn't a guy who got out of white nationalist organizing and in an unrelated fashion became a local politician. No, he said years before he did this, that this was a good idea that he had. You know, he never said, I renounce my previous actions and beliefs. I regret being an active recruiter for a hate group. He just changed the way he was doing it. And he said countless opportunities to be clear about what he believes today and whether that's different from the beliefs he espoused between 2017 and 2019. And he won't. He won't say, I no longer identify with the posts I made when I was enthusiastically posting the 14 words. And that's probably because he just found a better way to do it. But there were people in Enid, Oklahoma, who saw right through that.
Yeah, this is where the story takes a turn that, like, I don't know, it made me hopeful. Because the first time I ever met a Klansman was, you know, in Oklahoma. It was the dad of a friend of mine. Like, this kid bragged about it, and I didn't know what a Klansman was. And I had to go to my parents and, like, be like, hey, so, you know, so-and-so said this about his dad. What does that mean? And my mom was just like, well, you're not allowed to go to his house anymore. That's what that means.
Jesus. Jesus Christ. So
if shit had gone well for him, I guess that would have been my assumption. But that was my assumption based on me not giving a fair shake to Enid, Oklahoma.
Right. I think that's, you know, what's so remarkable about this story is people didn't think Oklahoma could do it. But you know who can accomplish everything they set out to do?
Uh-huh. That's right. These sponsors, all of whom are available in Enid, Oklahoma.
This is Raquel Willis from Queer Chronicles. Right now, there are close to 500 anti-LGBTQ+ bills in state legislatures across the country. Lambda Legal is leading the charge against these hateful bills that target mostly trans and non-binary people. You can fight discrimination and help write the next chapter of Lambda Legal history. To learn more about their open cases and to donate, visit lambdalegal.org. That's lambdalegal.org.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year, equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/news. That's LifeLock.com/news to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
Okay. I love Walker Hayes. He's amazing. He's so fun, such a great entertainer. And that's why I'm so excited that JCPenney and country music singer-songwriter Walker Hayes are partnering together on a new limited time men's collection for the everyday guy. The Walker Hayes for JCPenney collection is an upbeat playlist of instant classics with laid back appeal and down home vibes. As a dad of 7 kids, he knows exactly what fathers want and need when it comes to their style. This collection reflects his casually cool styles with outdoor-inspired details and versatile colors. Perfect for the guy living the t-shirt life or someone wanting some fresh options that feel just as good. It's easy to wear affordable styles that celebrate the ultimate family man, along with the quality, durability, and sensibility dads appreciate. Available online Saturday, May 4th at jcp.com and in-store Thursday, May 16th, just in time for Father's Day. Limited time only. JCPenney, make it count.
And we're back. Okay.
All righty. So
I'm happy to hear, the next part of this.
Blevins took office in May of 2023. Local election law requires a 6-month wait between being sworn in and when a recall attempt can be initiated. But the residents who opposed Blevins didn't wait quietly. A group called the Enid Social Justice Committee protested his swearing in, with some protesters holding posters bearing a photo of Blevins holding a torch at the August 11, 2017 Nazi march at the University of Virginia. And now this, I didn't even think about it until I was writing this, that what an incredible coincidence of timing, right? So May 2023, he's being sworn into office. It was just, I think, maybe 2 weeks before he was sworn in that the first indictment was unsealed against the guys who are now facing felony charges for participating in that torch march, right? So he was, we did an episode on this a little bit ago, but if you're not familiar, the guys who marched in that torch march at UVA in 2017, some of them are now being charged with a felony under Virginia law for burning an object with intent to intimidate. It's obviously a sort of a law aimed at the Klan, right? Sort of a cross-burning type law, but they were burning, they had these burning objects and they were menacing people. It was racially motivated. So they're being charged with this felony for burning an object.
Fair. It does feel like that's a pretty good fit.
But so right as he's being sworn in, you know, these people are protesting his swearing in with this photo of him with the torch. And a couple guys just showed up in jail here in Charlottesville on that charge. So it's just a remarkable cognitive dissonance, right? To see these people, some of his supporters in Enid, downplaying the seriousness or even outright denying that Blevins attended this rally. But the guys he was standing next to that day are pleading guilty to felonies. You know, he's up there voting on resolutions and passing ordinances about, you know, stormwater management or whatever. I think one of his accomplishments in office was getting a Texas roadhouse in Enid.
First off, you shouldn't be proud of having a Texas roadhouse anywhere.
It might have been a Sizzler. I can't remember. Something like that.
I would be much more excited for a Sizzler than a Texas fucking roadhouse. I'll say that much.
But, you know, he's up there getting an affordable chain steak restaurant in Enid, but there's a non-zero chance that he could be arrested at any time and extradited on a felony charge.
I mean, look, if there's one thing that's appropriate for the Sizzler, it's knowing that the guy who put that Sizzler there could be arrested on a felony charge at any moment.
You know, we don't know what the strategy is at the prosecutor's office. Obviously, they're not going to charge everybody who is there, but it's on the table, right? Like, he's on video at that march with the torch in his hand. He fits the criteria for the 10 other guys that have already gone to jail for this. But in November of 2023, those 6 months had passed. Recall's on the table now. And before the group made the final push to actually file for the recall, they made an offer of reconciliation. All Blevins has to do is acknowledge the truth, denounce his past actions, just own up to it, start making amends, just say, yes, I did that. No, I don't do it anymore. And he can't do it throughout this entire ordeal. He's never owned up to it. There are pictures and video and his own words across multiple online accounts. There's no plausible deniability here. There's no saying, well, maybe that's not him. You know, it's him. So just admit it and say you're not that guy anymore. But he has consistently refused to even acknowledge it, right? On several occasions, you know, when really pressed, he dismisses that 2019 article by Jared Holt as, quote, a hit piece posted 4 years ago by a George Soros-funded leftist outlet, calling it smears and slander.
Nothing smears somebody like their own words and actions.
I'm being defamed by this photograph of me.
I'm being judged simply for the things I chose to do.
I thought this was America, you know, but he won't actually deny specific facts. You know, he won't say that isn't me in the photo or I did not participate in that or I did not post those nice things about Hitler. He just attacks the people saying it. And while Blevins has never denied the truth of the allegations, some of his supporters do. At one of those council meetings in November of last year, a woman speaking in support of Blevins said the allegations weren't credible as they came from organizations like the SPLC that, quote, only exist to smear conservative Christians.
There we go.
First of all, the SPLC didn't publish it. It was Right Wing Watch and Huffington Post, but whatever, Susan. And it was at that same meeting that the council declined to even vote on a resolution to censure Blevins. The council was putting forth a resolution to say, we don't agree with what that guy did. You know, it wasn't like punishing him. It didn't actually strip him of any powers. It didn't do anything except say, the rest of us, we don't like that. And they wouldn't even vote on it. It got tabled. And at that meeting, Commissioner Derwin Norwood, the only Black member of Enid City Council, offered Blevins his forgiveness and gave him a big hug and told him he loved him.
Great.
But Blevins never apologized, right? You can't forgive someone who hasn't apologized. He had never, and still has never, apologized. And he was pretty clear on where he stands on apologies, saying, "I am not going to apologize for the lies that others tell." Yeah, it was a great meeting. I watched it from home. I love a meeting.
Oh yeah, no, that's I don't understand it, but I respect it.
So with their peace offering roundly rejected by an unapologetic Blevins, they moved forward with the recall. The Enid Social Justice Committee gathered enough signatures to put it to a vote. And in January, Cheryl Patterson threw her hat into the ring to replace Blevins. And to be clear, this is still Enid, Oklahoma, where 60% of voters are registered Republicans.
Yeah.
This wasn't some liberal coup. Patterson is also a lifelong Republican. At a candidate forum the week before the election, Patterson was quick to say, like right off the bat, the second she opened her mouth, she said, "Contrary to the rumor, I was not recruited by the Enid Social Justice Committee." And she said, you know, she'd been thinking about running for a while. She loves Enid, but she was pushed to action by her opponent's inability to clearly denounce his past involvement with a white supremacist group. And it is remarkable, right, to see conservative Republicans in the South saying, like, that Nazi stuff is too much for me.
Yeah, I mean, and that's, like, that's actually an important part of turning this shit back, is getting these people who are otherwise conservative to draw a line and actually hold to it, because it at least arrests that rightward momentum to an extent, and we're just not going to get out of this unless we have some of that.
Right, I'm not living in a fantasy land where the city of Enid, Oklahoma, is represented by a council of six socialists. Like that's not on the table. I accept that, but at least their Republicans can say, the 14 words is like not my vibe.
Yeah, literally participating in a white supremacist terrorist action is a line for us. And I'm glad there's a line.
So, you know, she said she was inspired to run for office because he, not because of what he did, but because he couldn't even denounce it, right? That, you know, people can grow and change. I pray that his heart moves, but he's unable to even denounce it. And he really does seem incapable. The very first question at that forum the week before the election was about this, obviously, a lot of the questions were. And he gave another non-denial, right? He said, "This election is about the next 3 years of this city, not about organizations that disbanded 5 years ago." But he went on to say that he would, quote, "gladly plead guilty to speaking out against what is being done to this country and the anti-white hatred in the media." So he tries to talk around the issue, saying, you know, he was just advocating for the same policies that got Donald Trump elected. But it's not like he was on the local Republican committee, right? He wasn't working on a GOP campaign. He was an organizer for a group that supported those policies of the Trump administration explicitly because they believed those policies were a stepping stone towards the full Nazification of American politics. Right? You know, the relationship between those two things, troubling, concerning, yeah. But you can't pretend there's no difference between voting Republican and holding a torch at the Nazi parade. And that's what he's trying to do here. He's trying to blur that line. So, you know, I'm just being punished for being a proud conservative. And it's like, which part? Right? People who want free speech. And it's like, well, which word do you want to say? And at no point during this recall campaign, from when they announced it in November to the election 2 weeks ago now, at no point during this recall campaign did he publicly denounce any of the white supremacists who supported him. Outlets like VDare, a white nationalist publication run by an English-born anti-immigration race scientist who lives in a castle in West Virginia, wrote fawning editorials which were promoted by prominent white nationalists, including Identity Europa founder Nathan D'Amigo. Fascist Telegram channels provided guidance to subscribers about Oklahoma's campaign finance laws, which would allow them to donate to Blevins' campaign anonymously as long as they kept it under $50. According to reporting by Chris Mathias and Huffington Post, a man in Texas who runs a business with a known Patriot Front member donated nearly $2,000 to the campaign, which made up the bulk of the donated cash. And you might give him the benefit of the doubt and say, well, Maybe he didn't know he was being endorsed by some of the largest elements in organized white supremacy in America.
Sure.
But he did. He did know. As a member of the city council, he definitely saw the letters that were addressed to the city council in support of Blevins from the American Freedom Party, an explicitly white supremacist political party that occasionally runs a Nazi for president. But he said nothing. And when a constituent, Father James Neal, asked him directly why his campaign was funded by members of Patriot Front, he told the priest to, quote, shut up. Again, he chose the company of neo-Nazis, Holocaust deniers, white supremacists, white nationalists, and ethno-state enthusiasts. How can you expect people to believe you're not that guy anymore when you have their public praise, their endorsement, and their money in your pocket? But you know who does not have $2,000 in cash from Patriot Front in their pockets?
No, probably. No, they keep that shit in a bag. I mean, they don't have it. Here's our sponsors.
This is Raquel Willis from Queer Chronicles. Right now, there are close to 500 anti-LGBTQ plus bills in state legislatures across the country. Lambda Legal is leading the charge against these hateful bills that target mostly trans and non-binary people. You can fight discrimination and help write the next chapter of Lambda Legal history. To learn more about their open cases and to donate, visit lambdalegal.org. That's lambdalegal.org.
Okay. I love Walker Hayes. He's amazing. He's so fun. Such a great entertainer. And that's why I'm so excited that JCPenney and country music singer-songwriter Walker Hayes are partnering together on a new limited-time men's collection for the everyday guy. The Walker Hayes for JCPenney collection is an upbeat playlist of instant classics with laid-back appeal and down-home vibes. As a dad of 7 kids, he knows exactly what fathers want and need when it comes to their style. This collection reflects his casually cool styles with outdoor-inspired details and versatile colors. Perfect for the guy living the t-shirt life or someone wanting some fresh options that feel just as good. It's easy to wear affordable styles that celebrate the ultimate family man, along with the quality, durability, and sensibility dads appreciate. Available online Saturday, May 4th at jcp.com and in-store Thursday, May 16th, just in time for Father's Day. Limited time only. JCPenney, make it count.
Now I'd like to introduce you to Meaningful Beauty, the famed skincare brand created by iconic supermodel Cindy Crawford. It's her secret to absolutely gorgeous skin. Meaningful Beauty makes powerful and effective skincare simple, and it's loved by millions of women. It's formulated for all ages and all skin tones and types, and it's designed to work as a complete skincare system, leaving your skin feeling soft, smooth, and nourished. I recommend starting with Cindy's full regimen, which contains all 5 of her best-selling products, including the amazing Youth Activating Melon Serum. This next generation serum has the power of melon leaf stem cell technology. It's melon leaf stem cells encapsulated for freshness and released onto the skin to support a visible reduction in the appearance of wrinkles. With thousands of glowing 5-star reviews, why not give it a try? Subscribe today and you can get the amazing Meaningful Beauty System for just $49.95. That includes our introductory 5-piece system, free gifts, free shipping, and a 60-day money-back guarantee. All of that available at meaningfulbeauty.com.
And we're back.
So on April 2nd, that's 2 weeks ago now as we're recording, the people of Enid returned to the polls, and Judd Blevins was voted out of office as Ward 1 city commissioner by a vote of 829 to 561. And I don't know if you're a math guy. I'm not a math guy.
Yeah.
I have a calculator out for this bad boy. But this turnout was significantly larger than the vote that put him into office. A 72% increase in total votes. That's a lot.
Yeah.
That's a lot more people who showed up to an off-cycle special election.
Yeah. Yeah, that's specifically weird.
And unlike the slim margin of just 36 votes that won him the 2023 election, he lost the recall by nearly 20 points. That's a spanking. You know, it's hard to chalk a loss like that up to a lunatic fringe, right? That's the electorate speaking. But Matthew Giebert, a former State Department employee who lost his job for failing to disclose his active involvement in white supremacist organizing, noted in his Telegram channel that while the loss is disappointing, an open white nationalist winning 40% of the vote is, quote, nothing to despair over. And you never got to hand it to the guy who hosts a podcast about the joys of Nazi fatherhood or whatever.
Yeah.
But the numbers are what they are. You know, he did win 40% of the vote.
Yep.
And this was after months of very public debate in the national spotlight that made it impossible not to know what the allegations were. And it's not like these were just diehard conservatives who would walk into the voting booth and put their check mark next to wherever the letter R was, right? In this election, the other name on the ticket was a Republican too. Like, these were people who walked in there and knowingly and intentionally cast their vote for a guy who used to vet new members for a Nazi club. This isn't a fairy tale. It's reality, right? This wasn't an offensive win by progress or the left or what have you. This was an effective defense. And I hope conservatives can see a little lesson here, right? Like, the story is too often one of ever-ratcheting extremism. You can only win if you go further, if you go wilder, if you're appealing to the people who are on the absolute extreme end of what's acceptable to say in the party. But this was a case where a fellow conservative said, hey, I want to take some books out of the library too. I'm not a liberal, but we just can't be out here saying the 14 words, right? And I think some of the buzz around this story comes from people in bigger cities or bluer states. I mean, honestly, I'm guilty of this as well, who were shocked that, you know, purple-haired liberals and progressive clergy even exist in a place like Enid, Oklahoma. But this red state, blue state dichotomy is a myth. Most places are purple. Most places are 60-40. Even in places that reliably 100% of the time vote Republican, there's still a large minority of people who are not represented by that. So even in a place like Enid, which is Republican at the polls, you have a pretty big chunk of the population who isn't represented on that two-colored map.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean they don't care. And when I watched those Enid city council meetings, I saw Charlottesville, right? I've gone to every city council meeting in Charlottesville for the last 7 years. Like, I know what it looks like for people in a town that size to show up and say, what the fuck? What the fuck are you doing to us? Right?
Yeah.
You know, it looked like one of our meetings. You know, I saw regular people, moms and students and grandmas and teachers and ladies who bring muffins to the church bake sale, people who know that their town can do better than to be represented by a guy who won't apologize for attending the largest Nazi rally on U.S. soil in our lifetimes.
Yeah. And I feel a lot for the folks who are kind of not represented by either of the two big lines on the political map. And maybe most of the time feel like, I don't know what the fuck I can actually do or should do, but I know this Nazi shouldn't be in office.
So these were just regular people. These weren't party apparatchiks or you know, this wasn't the Democrat Party doing this. This wasn't the Republican Party doing this. These were just people who didn't think that a Nazi should be their city commissioner. And that's, I think, another myth at play here, right, is that activist is some sort of separate class of person, that there is some portion of the population whose only goal in life is this nebulous, nefarious thing called activism. That, you know, it's sort of this boogeyman of the professional troublemaker. And throughout this process, Blevins and his supporters have smeared the group organizing the recall, the Enid Social Justice Committee, as some kind of fringe radical group. They're Antifa, they're freaks, they're not like us.
Yeah.
They're coming for our children. His recall campaign website called the petitioners an unhinged group of left-wing fringe activists. And the campaign website didn't say what he could do for you. It attacked the petitioners and said, this is what they will do to you. And I've seen this in my own city council meetings, right? This sort of bizarre tendency of those in power to write off the people they don't want to hear from as activists. Well, those aren't people we need to listen to. Those are activists. That's a different kind of person. Anyone who's asking for something they don't want to do, something that's uncomfortable, something that requires them to look inward or look at the structures they're upholding. They undergo this instant metamorphosis from constituent to activist. This is no longer a voter or a constituent. This is a crazy person. This person isn't your neighbor anymore. They're an activist.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, there are people who wear that mantle proudly, and why shouldn't they? It's a usually positive thing. But the use of the word as some sort of delegitimizing cudgel is so consistent that I think it's worth thinking about when it gets used against the recipient's will.
Yeah.
And there's no ending to this story, right? Because this is never really over. It is happening here. It is happening there. And I don't know what's next for Blevins. Maybe he just melts quietly back into society and puts roofs on houses. A week after the recall, he filed paperwork to change the name of his dad's contracting business from Invincible Contracting to Great Plains Roofing. And the paperwork filed shows that the company sure, is now man. Registered. The company is now registered at his address, a house in Enid that he bought last summer with a VA loan. But now that he's free of the self-imposed restraint of running for office, maybe he leans into it and becomes this guy, right? Maybe he's just the guy that this happens to, and he goes on the cancel culture grievance circuit. Maybe he goes full throttle and tries to get back into movement organizing. I think his failure to come out and really celebrate the movement and really own it and say, yes, I said that stuff and it's good. I think that failure, as they would perceive it, would hurt him a little bit if he tries to reenter the movement, but not so badly that he couldn't do it. You know, they're so desperate for new material that they would probably embrace him if he wanted to be the figurehead of the month.
Yeah.
Hopefully he just does the roofing thing, though.
Yeah. Yeah, hopefully he does the roofing thing and then the falling off the roof thing and then...
You know he's not there doing the work himself. He doesn't even have a contracting license. I checked.
I hope he hires someone who is like a very large person and they fall off and are okay because they land on him. That's I think, where I'm going here.
And to be clear, that's Robert speaking.
Yeah, yeah. that is also the official opinion of iHeartMedia.
But yeah, I don't know that he's made any great pronouncements. He hasn't showed up on any Nazi podcasts yet. I will put $10 on a bet that says he will. He'll be on somebody's podcast by the end of the month. I don't doubt it. But hopefully he just does roofing.
Yeah. Stick to roofing.
As for Enid, you know, they won a battle that they shouldn't have had to fight. It should be kind of a no-brainer that we don't elect guys like this. That's yeah. becoming less certain every day. Like, the fact that there was any question about how the recall might go is concerning. We shouldn't be in a position of wondering, will people vote for the guy who won't deny he loves Hitler? But I think we can applaud the tenacity of the folks in Enid who did what was necessary in a place where it wasn't easy.
Yeah.
You know, and there's lessons to be learned here. Go to the meetings. Get a seat in city council chambers. Go to the library board meeting. Go to the school board meeting. You don't have to be an activist, whatever that means. But be in the room. Because nobody's going to change the world on their own. And maybe changing the world isn't even a meaningful objective. I don't know what that means.
Yeah.
But today, maybe there's something you can do with your neighbors to stop the rising tide in your town. You can't change the weather, but you can put down some sandbags. And there are Judd Blevinses everywhere, hiding behind mealy-mouthed rhetoric of conservatism and quietly chipping away your local institutions.
Yeah. So it's doable, fighting the Judd's Blevin of I chose a different way to pluralize his name. Of your wherever you live, your state, your city, like, is doable. And it's doable if you stick to this very simple platform of like, but not a Nazi, right? We can agree not a Nazi, you know?
And if conservatives had any sense, they could retake a lot of ground by saying, like, you know, we love all the stuff you love, fellow conservatives, but we're not that guy, right? Like, if they had any pride, they would stop pandering to the lunatic fringe.
Yeah, and it is just kind of looking at how the congressional race is shaping up, where it seemed like it should have been pretty easy for them to retake the House, but, you know... Now they're kind of like flailing a little bit, in part because they keep backing these maniacs who just aren't good. Yeah,
because I don't really believe that those ideas are popular. They just have fallen into this trap of thinking like this is the only way to win. So I guess I have to do it. But you
Sorry,
don't.
The Senate, not the House. Anyway, whatever. We'll cut that.
Who cares about those guys?
Yeah.
But you don't have to do it, right? You be the Cheryl Patterson you want to see in the world.
Yeah.
And just be a milquetoast Republican and beat the Nazi.
Yeah. At least, I don't know. I'm mixed because, like, I do like it when the Republicans fail over much. But I also feel like it's bad to take the bet of, like, well, if we hope for more Nazis that push people away from the Republicans, maybe it'll work for us in the long run. statistically, that kind of gamble is real dangerous.
That's not a crank not often I want to keep successful. Turning.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah.
That's Enid.
That's Enid, baby. Good work, Enid.
Congratulations to the Enid Social Justice Committee. Honestly,
Yeah.
Very impressed.
You get our coveted Oklahoma City of the Month award, which is confusing because you are very near Oklahoma City, but they shouldn't have named it that. Well, that's all I got.
That's all I got. Yeah, I was okay. trying to put a button on that bad boy, but
yeah,
that's Oklahoma, baby.
Yeah, good for you. Good for Oklahoma.
It Could Happen Here is a production of Cool Zone Media. For more podcasts from Cool Zone Media, visit our website, coolzonemedia.com, or check us out on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. You can find sources for It Could Happen Here updated monthly at coolzonemedia.com/sources. Thanks for listening.
So, should we go electric?
I think we should go electrified with Toyota.
Electrified?
Electrified means options. Yes, we could go all electric with a Toyota bZ4X, but then there are hybrids like Grand Highlander, or we could do something in between like a RAV4 plug-in hybrid.
So Toyota is electrified diversified?
Yep, and with more options for reducing carbon emissions, the closer we all get to Toyota's Beyond Zero vision for the future.
Exactly how much coffee have you had this morning?
Learn more about our Beyond Zero vision for the future at toyota.com/beyondzero.
This is Raquel Willis from Queer Chronicles. Right now, there are close to 500 anti-LGBTQ+ bills in state legislatures across the country. Lambda Legal is leading the charge against these hateful bills that target mostly trans and non-binary people. You can fight discrimination and help write the next chapter of Lambda Legal history. To learn more about their open cases and to donate, visit lambdalegal.org. That's lambdalegal.org.
I'm so excited to tell you JCPenney and country music singer-songwriter Walker Hayes are partnering together on a new limited-time men's collection for the everyday guy. What I love about Walker Hayes is his laid-back nature. He's a family man and being a country megastar while also having 7 kids. You know he likes to keep his style cool and casual. This new collection is perfect for the guy living the t-shirt life or someone wanting some fresh options that feel just as good. It's easy to wear, affordable styles that celebrate the ultimate family man, along with the quality, durability, and sensibility dads appreciate. Available online Saturday, May 4th at jcp.com and in-store Thursday, May 16th. Just in time for Father's Day. Limited time only. JCPenney, make it count.